What a great message we have to celebrate this day that pulls together joy and sorrow in the same Sunday. But you know, that's a lot like life. Life is mixed with joys and sorrows. I mean, we can be happy one minute and something very difficult and unhappy and sad happens to us the very next moment. That we live kind of conflicted lives. That is life. I mean, if you're not living with both of those in tension, then you're probably not alive. And yet we dream of a world when all of the hardship disappears. We look for that day in our lives, don't we? We think, I'm going to work hard now, and I'm going to retire later, and I'm not going to have to deal with those things. But you see, the retired folks, and we've got quite a few of them in the church, say, well, it hadn't worked out quite that way. It's kind of like my daughter was always interested in, boy, when I grow up, you know, when I go off to college, when I've got my own job, I'm going to be able to do this and that and the other. Oh, once she got to that state, she says, you know, this thing being adult's not all it's cracked up to be. Because you think you're going to have plenty of money, you think you're going to have plenty of freedom, and in reality, we potentially have a lot of freedom, but we live in a society that limits a bit of your freedom, don't we? It certainly limits it by how much you can buy. And we can get so caught up into that that we can really end up having more sorrows than joys. So we need celebrative times in the life of the church. We need a time when people can march around the sanctuary and carry banners and wave palms to remind us that our God promises that to us too. We can get so caught up in day-to-day drudgeries that we forget the joys of simple things. Yesterday, I spent all day either bouncing around on a tractor or bouncing around in an old truck. I loaded and transported and unloaded six 16-foot bed truck load of dirt and then spread it around. And I was tired physically, but, you know, it was so good to be out on a beautiful day and to feel the wind and to be thinking about loading dirt instead of all of the other stuff I usually think about. That I praised God sitting there in that dirt pit. That this is wonderful to have a day like this. And to have what I need to get all this dirt together. And it was just dirt. But it was a change. It was a chance to be outside. It was a chance to work with my body instead of my mind. And that was a welcomed thing for me. Somehow we need to blend the passion and the sorrows of life with the joys of life. And, you know, if you're desperate like I am, then hauling dirt becomes a joy. Well, there'll also be some joy because my wife won't be saying when you're going to haul that dirt. So there's two joys and blessings in that. Now, the scripture today focuses more on the passion, but also on the joy in Philippians. But I am sure that Jesus was well aware of his imminent death as he was marching into Jerusalem that day. And in his own mind, he was celebrating that last big moment with his people. Just as on Thursday night, he sat down for his last earthly Passover meal. Wonder how many meals Jesus had with his disciples? Hundreds, maybe? And to sit there and know this is my last meal with these guys that have been so close to me for 3 years. And he instituted what we celebrate in Holy Communion, all the time knowing what was ahead of him later that night, where he would be betrayed, hauled off like a common criminal, go before Pilate and Herod and the chief priest, be judged and ridiculed by others. Don't you think our Lord probably remembered that passage in Isaiah 50? Isaiah was talking about his own life there, that God had called him to be a teacher, and every morning he woke up listening to God and prepared to listen to people to know what they needed to be taught. Jesus probably remembered those words. Isaiah talked about what it was like to be ridiculed for what you taught, have people gossip and talk about you and try not to pay it any attention. Even people who would physically assault you. Jesus probably remembered that passage particularly when he was being scourged by the Roman soldiers. You know, there was an old practice back then that sort of gives new meaning to turn the other cheek. You know, sometimes the way they would taunt you in those days is they'd come up and yank the hair out of your beard. Now, if you've ever yanked out an eyebrow, I mean, I don't know anybody that really enjoys that. But if somebody really wants to taunt you, you know, they come up to your beard. I don't think they'd get a hold of yours. But I got enough to get a hold of. I'd hate to have that yanked out. And yet Isaiah said, even if they do things like that, you turn the cheek to them to let them do that. That was the kind of life Jesus was living out. He probably remembered that scripture because he quoted from Isaiah so many times in the New Testament. But I like what God tells us in Philippians. I mean, this is just a great celebration here, because what we have here is Paul wanting for us what God has proven to the world. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. In other words, we already have it. Jesus already paid the price. He has already given it to those who believe. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. A mind of humility. You know, it is so easy to get caught up in the things of the world and to work so hard for someday when I'll be able to do this or do that or have this or have that. We don't really live as humble people. As a matter of fact, I guess that would be almost un-American to be humble. We're supposed to be proud. But Jesus goes against the conventions of the world. He humbled himself, was crucified on a hill between two criminals, crucified as a criminal himself, and we are foolish enough to celebrate the empty cross. Now, Paul talked about the foolishness of the cross before you go get me for calling it foolish. But it is foolish to the world. It doesn't make sense to the world. How many people saw the big picture and on the religious page of the cross at 9/11? Yeah, you saw it. Some of you saw it. I don't know if you read the article. Kind of disturbing. But there in the midst of that tragedy, as pull back some debris, there was a girder that had been ripped and twisted so it was almost in the perfect shape of a Latin cross. And people drew strength from that. Yet there were three ministers in this article who talked about the ridiculous nature of the cross. Well, one of the things I want to tell you is, as long as you're in the church and as long as you're trying to be a Christian, there are going to be crackpots out there with all kinds of weird theories, and you just have to live with it. But two women have written a book about how we shouldn't have the cross displayed in the life of the church. It should have never been a symbol in the church, because they say that glorifies and condones violence and state terrorism. I tell you, one of them works at Harvard, and sometimes these professors have to write books to stay in their teaching position, but God love them. You wonder where they're stretching to write a book like that. And then there was a Catholic priest who came in and said the same thing. We shouldn't focus on the cross. But you see, you can't focus on the cross as meaningful unless you believe. To outsiders, it's kind of crazy. That's why Paul talked about the foolishness of the cross. Logically, it doesn't make any sense to worship a man who was crucified as a criminal, unless you know that wasn't just a man. Unless you know that that was the Son of the Father. And as a part of the Trinity, Jesus was and is God. That wasn't just the man Jesus of Nazareth on the cross. That was God hanging on the cross. And it transforms an ugly, brutal, violent state terrorist activity into a sign of hope for the world. A sign of hope for the workers after 9/11, when that cross emerged from the desolation and gave them hope to work on. Have this mind. Jesus humbled himself before the Father to pay the price so we could enjoy the Christian life today without worrying about being damned forever. Have hope when we're conflicted, when we're sorrowful, when we're in pain and want more celebration and joy in our lives. Jesus humbled himself in the act of his surrender upon the cross, and God exalted him to the highest place in the universe for that action. Are we willing to be humble? Or are we going to insist on how important we are? You know, politically, Jimmy Carter caught a lot of flack as president, one-term president, peanut farmer, Sunday school teacher from Georgia, ran as a Washington outsider, which everybody loved, but when he went up there, he was such an outsider, he couldn't get Congress, Democrats, or Republicans to work with him. He didn't know you had to play politics to make it happen, and he only had one term. And I've seen a lot of presidents in news releases about presidents. But to see that same man more often in a picture with a hammer or saw starting Habitat for Humanity says something to me about humility. That's the president of the United States. And there he is down on his knees hammering a board or sawing a board or painting a house. And Habitat for Humanity has made a tremendous difference right here in this community, right over in Hope County, and around the state and the nation and the world, because a man didn't see himself as all puffed up because he was president of the United States, but humbled himself to serve his fellow Americans. And that humility is nothing to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings coming to earth to be just like you and me and accept even death that we might have life. That's the kind of God I can believe in. That's the kind of God that can bring joy in the simple everyday things of life. And that's the kind of God that will reach out to you if you have this mind in Christ Jesus. And He's already given to you. Humble yourselves so God can exalt you to the joy that you deserve in this life. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Son and the gift He offers to us to be fully alive, to survive the struggles and the pains and the sorrows of life, and to look through them to the joys and the celebrations, to find a way to celebrate even in the midst of today's challenges. Help us to humble ourselves just as Jesus humbled Himself so we can see unusual moments of celebration around us every day. So we don't have to just wait for our day off or for a holiday, but we find a way to celebrate life daily and experience being exalted to the joy of Your presence moment by moment. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.